Good morning, everyone. My name is Prashant. I'm the program manager for the Q&A Maker product. So as you guys probably heard yesterday, we announced the GA of Q&A Maker. So super excited to be here. So just a quick show of hands. How many of you have heard of Q&A Maker before? Oh, nice. Some of you haven't. So what I'll do in this session is briefly talk about what's changed in the new stack and how that impacts and what sort of pain points that helps the users and what that means for you to migrate, right? So that's what this short talk is going to be about. Okay. So those of you who don't know what Q&A Maker is, Q&A Maker is a service that basically creates a question answering endpoint on top of your existing data, right? So people who have built bots, right, and I think a lot of you might have done so, one of the most painful, if not the most technically challenging, one of the most painful tasks is to actually ingest the bot with data. Because end of the day, the bot needs to respond, right? So it needs a corpus of data to respond on. And what usually happens is most of the time, you already have this data with you in some format, be it FAQ URLs or product manuals or Excel sheets or database or somewhere. So you have data with you somewhere, and it's a kind of a painful task to have to ingest it into your bot service or have the bot sort of understand that data. So what we started off as a service was, hey, can we just ease that process of, here's my data, create an endpoint that can answer questions on that data. So that's what the Q&A Maker service does. We've been in preview for a year now, and yeah, and yesterday we announced our GA. So with that quick background, let me talk about what's changed. OK, so for a minute, just look at the left side of the graph, left side of the slide. So that's what we have been previewing the service on over the last year. What that means is there are three major components of the service. There is a management stack. Management stack is the portal and the APIs where you do your CRUD operations, where you publish your knowledge base, you train your knowledge base, right? So that's the management stack. Then you have the data storage. That's the actual Q&As. And then you have the runtime, which actually has the ranking algorithm that does the matching and response to a question. So in the preview, what we had was everything was hosted by us. Us, I mean, by Microsoft in its Azure subscription. So as a user, you would come to our portal. You would give us data. We would do our stuff. And we would expose an endpoint, which you would then use in your bot. Right? That's how the Q&A Maker stack works. The problem with that approach were two. I mean, customers clearly told us that, first, there's a latency issue here. Because as the number of users grow, as the number of knowledge bases grow, this was going to become a bottleneck. Because you can only scale to so many VMs and so many, I mean, it's a cache problem, right? I mean, how many knowledge bases do you load in your cache? So that was proving to be a bottleneck of us hosting everything. The second problem that we heard from customers is, hey, where is my data being stored? Because a very common use case of Q&A Maker is for LOBs to sort of build up their own FAQs, right? Like a finance FAQ, a HR FAQ bot. And often that has kind of sensitive data. They people are concerned on where is this data being stored. And with this whole GDPR stuff, it's getting even more important. So what we are doing with the GA stack is actually splitting the stack in the middle into two. What we are going to do is we are going to let the customer host the data and the runtime components in your own Azure subscription while we continue to host the management operations on our end, right? So that's a very short overview of what is different in GA. Rest of the features are pretty much at parity, but the fundamental way of how you structure the stack is what's changing with GA. So what does that mean for you as a customer? First one, there's no more throttling, right? I don't know how many of you in the preview had requested for the premium subscription, remember? It's like a higher transaction quota for the endpoint. Now you are hitting your endpoint in your own app service. So you are already paying for the app service hosting and the Azure Search hosting. So there's no more throttling anymore. You scale as you go, right? And there is no need for you to have a limitation on the number of transactions or any such limitations. So there's no more throttling. It's pretty much a hosted model right now. The second interesting thing that this brings through is the whole data privacy compliance thing. So now your data is in your Azure compliance boundary, right? So you have complete control of it. Microsoft clearly acts as a data processor. There's no control of data here. You store your data, you choose what gets stored, you choose when to delete it, and so on, right? So you have complete data privacy and compliance of your Q&A data. The third interesting thing is the scale part. Remember when I talked about, let's say I have 100 knowledge bases. So now you don't need to depend on our stack to create those 100 knowledge bases. You just go and pick a higher SKU of Azure Search, and you get 100 knowledge bases. Let's say you have 1 million transactions per minute throughput requirement. You don't need to depend on us. You go and choose a bigger SKU of app service, right? So it's as simple as that. So we take dependencies on existing Azure resources like app service and Azure Search to sort of maintain that end-to-end stack together. So that's what's new with this GA architecture, right? And yeah, and after you do this first provisioning of the stack, rest of the experience remains the same. And I'll show you a demo of what's changed and what's new, right? So this is as far as the stack goes. Now let me talk about what's new with the portal and the other features that we added. So I'm just going to highlight four. There are more that you can go and play with. So the first interesting feature that we added is the support for metadata, right? If you look at the schema of a knowledge base, it's usually two columns, right? It's a question column and an answer column. So with metadata, we are letting users add their own custom columns to Q&As. So now what you can do is, for a Q&A pair, which is like multiple questions pointing to one answer, you can add your custom name value pairs to that entity. So why would you do this, right? There are two ways people use this feature. The first one is, now you can filter results based on that metadata value. So think of a scenario where, let's go back to that HR finance scenario, right? Let's say you have one big knowledge base with some questions that are in the HR category and some in the finance category. So now what you can do is, instead of having to create two separate knowledge bases, you can create one knowledge base, but then filter on the metadata value of finance or payroll or whatever it is, right? And this is more important because there are often cases where there are same questions in different categories. Unless you actually separate them out, there's no way to kind of distinguish which answer is appropriate, right? So with this metadata value, you can set a filter of when you query the service on filter results on type finance, and you get results in that scope. So that's the first way to use that. The second interesting thing that it might give you some ideas on how to use this is the concept of context, right? So even now, Q&A Maker is singleton, which means you ask it one question and you get a response. We are still figuring out how to do a good job of multi-turn conversations. But with this approach, what you now get is additional information with the response, right? So let's take an example. Let's say the user asked a question about a finance-related question, right? And the answer comes back to that question, and there is a tag which says that this is a finance question. So now you can choose what you do with that information downstream, right? For example, you want to scope the user in the finance context for a while, let's say. Or let's say you want to trigger a workflow to do something else. So now with metadata, you at least have the first steps toward maintaining the previous question's context in the next series of conversations, right? So that's the other way people would think about using metadata. So that's new. And the portal has complete support on using metadata and editing metadata. The next thing that's big is the fact that now we log all the conversations in Application Insights. So as bot developers, you will realize that the real fun starts when users actually start using your service, right? I mean, creating a bot is just the first part of it. So the fact that now we have App Insights, this also brings in the entire power of App Insights with the Kusto queries and the Power BI integration and all the cool stuff you can do with App Insights, you can do with your chat logs. And again, all this stuff is, again, in your subscription, right? So you get complete control on what gets stored and where it gets stored and so on. So that's the second thing that's new. The third thing this is not really new for this week, but I guess it's the first time I'm talking about it in a forum, is the fact that now we are able to extract content from product manuals, right? So we are still in the realm of semi-structured data here, right? I'm not claiming that we do like machine comprehension or unstructured data. product manuals have an inherent structure to them, right? So, I mean, they have this table of content, and then they have topics, and they have paragraphs, and then they have some sort of structure to them. So what we are now able to do is to take in a product manual and pull out those headings and passages as analogous to Q&As in your FAQ scenario. So that's because that's usually what a question is, right? The topic of the paragraph is usually the question that people would ask. And I'll show you an example of how this works. So now we are able to do this. We are able to take a product manual and create and extract the content from the product manual. And finally, language support. So remember, I briefly mentioned we took a dependency on Azure Search. So the one cool thing that gives us, in other than the fact that it's a highly scalable service, is that Azure Search has a concept of language analyzers. So what that means is a language analyzer is they have both the Lucene and the Microsoft analyzers, but language analyzers bring in their own set of things like the word breakers and lemmatization and stemming and all those things, right? So we are able to kind of leverage that right out of the box from Azure Search. So what that means is we can now support over 53 languages in which your KB can be authored. And that's just because there are 53 language analyzers that Azure Search has, and we just kind of build on top of it, right? So that's the fourth thing that's new with the GA stack, right? So what I'm going to do now is just show you how this works end-to-end. OK, so this is the new portal. It doesn't look a whole lot different from the old one. You might be confused where your knowledge bases are. But so this is the new portal. It's still www.qnmaker.ai. You can still get to the old portal by clicking there. And this is where the knowledge bases you have created in your preview are still here. Don't worry, they are not going anywhere. So what you would need to do is actually migrate these knowledge bases to the new stack, because we are announcing the deprecation of the old portal. You have 6 months, and we will be maintaining the old portal for the next 6 months. You have time till then to move to the new portal, the new stack. So let me show you how this works, right? So this is my new QNMaker GA portal. And let me try to create a knowledge base here. So these are the steps that I would do to create my knowledge base. The first step, remember I told you there's a set of resources that go in your Azure subscription. So that's step one, create the Q&A service. So let me go ahead and click that. So this will take me to the Azure portal, and it'll go to the creation blade of the Q&A service. So it's a whole, oops, sorry, that's, I need to switch my directory. Yeah. So this is how it looks like. If you click that and you're logged in the right directory, this is where you will land up. So what you do here is pretty simple. So you name your service, that's fine. But what you get to do here is actually choose the SKU and the location of each of those dependent services, right? So what that means is here's the search service, right? The Azure search service. You get to choose what SKU of search service you want. Then you get to choose what location that search service should be deployed in. And these could be all different, depending on how you set up your service, right? So you could choose the location of the service. You could choose your app service name. App service is where our runtime is. Runtime is what does the ranking on top of Azure Search. So this is where the app service is. And then this is the location of the app service, right? So depending on what you want to do, that's what you would set up this service on. And again, App Insights is the final step. You can choose to enable or disable it. It's an optional resource. But if you do enable App Insights, you get the telemetry, right? You get the whole analytics stuff going into App Insights. So you do all of that, and you hit create, and that kind of spins for a while, and your Q&A resource gets created. So going back to my demo, so I was here, right? Let's say I did that. I went and created my Q&A service. Now I kind of get to select that service that I just created. So if you're wondering how this works, the login to this portal is the same login for your Azure. It's your Azure auth, right? So we can use this auth to pull in the ARM resources from Azure, and you get to select which service to deploy it to. So you select your tenant, you select your subscription, you select your service. Let's say you give it a name, Surface, the demo I want to do. And that's my URL. So this is my Surface product manual. Right. So this is the Surface Pro 4 user guide, right? And if you look at it, remember the structure I was talking about? So this is what it means. So there is a very, well, it's most product manuals have this format, that they have a very well-defined table of content, which is like topics and page numbers. And internally below, they will have the heading and the content below it, right? The power and charging, for example, is one section. And the battery level is one section. So this is what is analogous to your Q&As in the FAQ world. So what I'll do is I'll pop in this URL here and hit create. And it needn't be a URL. It could be an offline PDF. You could upload a PDF file as well and hit create. So now what's happening is it's getting the PDF downloaded. It's parsing it. It's trying to figure out what the structure is and trying to pull out the Q&As. And like I said, the various data sources we support include Excel sheets. We support Word documents, Q&A PDFs, URLs, a whole bunch of different formats that you can use here. And in addition to all of this, everything you do on the portal, you can do with APIs. The V4 APIs are published. You can do all of those with APIs. So here's what it pulled out, right? So this stuff about the power button, about microphones, and so on and so forth. So let's see how this works, right? So let's try to chat with the service. So let's say I ask it about, tell me about USB. So now what it's trying to do is it's trying to do a match. It's like previously, right? It's trying to do a match in its index and trying to find the best response. So that's the response it found out. And what you can do here, like before, is give an alternate phrase or give an alternate question to the existing question, or you could choose a different answer, or you could add a new answer. And it's all in line to the chat experience. So while chatting, you could enrich your knowledge base with more variations. So after you do all of this, the other things you can do here is add question variations right here. So remember, one pain point with the old portal was every Q&A pair was a new line, which meant that if you changed one answer, you needed to change all those rows. So now we've kind of grouped all the alternate questions in a single row so that it's like a logical entity here, right? So I don't know. So this is like tech guide, let's say. And here's where the metadata comes in. Remember, I talked about metadata. This is where you would add a name value pair, like type and, I don't know, guide. Okay, so this becomes a metadata for that Q&A entity. So you can use that name value pair for filtering, or you can use that name value pair you get back that name value pair when you query the service. So that's how you add metadata to the knowledge base. You save, retrain, the same thing happens. Your index gets updated with all of this. And the final step after this gets done is publish. And again, the publish step is again similar to what we had before. So let me just go ahead and publish that. And what publish is doing is exposing that endpoint. Couple of things I want to highlight with the endpoint that's different. While this guy rolls. OK. So note the host name here. This is the host name that's hitting your app service. It's not hitting the Cognitive Service API, right? And that's the reason why there's no throttling, because it's your hosted app service that is serving your endpoint right now, right? So your data is in your resource. I mean, your resource is in your subscription, and the endpoint is hitting your resource. So that's the big change that's happening with the GA service, right? So that's it. So that's a short overview of what's new. It's feature-wise, it's pretty much at parity, other than the stuff that I talked about with metadata and language. And provisioning is what's new. So what you need to do is you need to kind of migrate from the old stack, which is pretty much an export and an import, and your new stack is sort of up. And the pricing model is now a hosted one. So you pay for the resources you host. There is no per transaction or transaction per month costing to the new service anymore. So that's it. Getting back to the links. So here's some of the links that you might find helpful. The portal is still the same. It's Q&A Maker AI. The preview portal is Q&A Maker AI WAC old. So it's right there. Go to Q&A Maker. You can create the Q&A Maker service by going to the Azure portal and just searching for Q&A Maker in the gallery. And then there's a blog that just briefly talks about what I just said, and it'll give you a reference point. The documentation is up. The pricing structure is up. It's please let us know how this, how your migration goes, and we are at the booth, at the AI booth. So come talk to us if you have any questions. Okay? Thanks. Thank you very much.